This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside the 8 p.m. hour on The Fan in New York. My name is Keith McPherson. I host the nighttime show. I don't know. You may have heard a KM to AM. Maybe not. I'm just researching right now. Like I said, I wanted to get more information on the St. Louis Cardinals. LeBron James and the Spring Hill Company did a documentary on the St. Louis Cardinals some years ago. Shout out to my mom. I was at my mom's house earlier today. I actually watched it at her house years ago. And I just can't find the exact article or story on it. Someone listening may know the story on it. But from what I remember, the St. Louis Cardinals, back in the days of Bob Gibson and, you know, those players, they ended up having to make their own spring training facility to escape racism and violence and discrimination and to protect their players and those players' families. And I'll find an article or something so that I can articulate it better and not just try to go off of my memory and off the top of my head. It's not something I lived. It's something that I watched in a documentary. But it's information that came up as we were talking about Marcus Stroman potentially being traded to St. Louis, Nolan Arenado potentially being traded from St. Louis. Like, I saw that there was a report today. Nolan Arenado is likely to be a part of the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, 2 days ago, there was a report that the Yankees were not in on him. So, you know, fans will make what they will of these things. And I know last night I was on right as the news broke about Alex Bregman going to the Red Sox. And for a few nights in a row, I was saying, don't sleep on the Red Sox. The Red Sox went and got pitching. I don't ever sleep on their manager. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. No coincidence that Alex Bregman, who was in Houston with Alex Cora, goes and joins him. Could have joined A.J. Hinch. Did not go to Detroit where they offered him more money. But I just, you know, I think that the Red Sox are going to be pesky. I think that the Red Sox, they really get off on beating the Yankees still. People say the rivalry's dead. The rivalry has no juice. To them, you know, if they sweep the Yankees in the Bronx, they're popping champagne in the visiting clubhouse. They're late to their media availability because they're celebrating that like they won the World Series. So we'll have to contend and deal with our own division, Yankee fans. It isn't going to just be a cakewalk. It isn't going to be, you know, just like a guarantee that the Yankees get back to the World Series. Prior to last year, it had been 15 years. And again, I go back to this team does not have Juan Soto. Juan Soto was a huge part of the vibe of this Yankees team last year. The mentality of this Yankees team last year, he had an effect on the lineup, his teammates. He certainly had an effect on the fans. And forever, the Yankees go back to the World Series off the bat of Juan Soto. He hits the home run that sends them to the Fall Classic, and he catches the final out. So here we go. We're closer to another season where we can put that in the past. But I do have a fear that if they don't get back to the World Series, we'll have a year of a narrative that, hey, Juan Soto got him to the World Series, right? Especially if they go to the postseason and Judge fails again and they don't get back to the World Series. Oh, Judge couldn't do it. Couldn't do it with an old Paul Goldschmidt. Couldn't do it with an old, you know what I'm saying, DJ LeMahieu. Ed is in Mohegan on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? Perfect timing. Just got in the house.
Cool.
I was hoping you wouldn't catch me when I was carrying my groceries in.
No, I knew. I knew you needed some time.
You feel me? Cool. Good for you. All right. You know what? I'm certainly not going to talk about Sean Markham. But, excuse me. I want to talk about DJ LeMahieu.
Okay.
You know, it's not... I remember having a conversation once. I was lucky enough to chat with Bernie when he was out jamming at a bar, which he does often. Very engaging. And about a year or two before, I read Yogi Berra's book, and Yogi said, he talked about how he went, that Bernie was having a hard time playing baseball. He missed his music. He just wasn't enjoying it. And Yogi kind of talked him out of it. So when I met Bernie, I asked him about it, and he said, absolutely. Yogi was terrific with the guys. He was great to have around. And it had nothing to do with what he did on the field as a player. It was just Yogi. And you're never going to know this. Like, very rarely you hear a player talk about how great somebody is in the clubhouse because then they want to know about everybody. So I would think you just got to keep your mouth shut. So I look at a guy like DJ LeMahieu, and the Yankees can afford to keep DJ LeMahieu because they're, what are they, a top three team in team payroll? So they have all the money in the world. They're fortunate enough to be in the New York demographic. So the Yankees have no problem. So they can afford to keep a guy like DJ on the team because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know who he's helping. Maybe Judge is going to him and saying, you know, how many conversations has DJ had with Judge over what happened in the World Series with the catch, with the non-catch?
Probably none.
You don't know that. So I put a lot of stock, not just, and I feel this way about a lot of players. It's like even the Hall of Fame. I can go on forever. Like a guy like Don Mattingly transcended the game. That's the guy that I want my kid to know about. DJ LeMahieu is the kind of guy I want my kid to watch and say, you know what? He might not be the best player, but he's good for the team. He's good for the clubhouse. Like,
thanks for the call, Ed. I couldn't disagree more. I'm sorry. I let you go. You know, they had the Bernie stuff. Love Bernie. Love Yogi. Arguably, like, two of my favorite Yankees. They have nothing to do with DJ. DJ doesn't talk. He's a machine. He doesn't say a word. Doesn't talk to anybody. And then, like, you don't know who I know or what I know or what conversations I've had with players, family members, people that also talk to fathers and family. You don't know who I know and what I know as far as, you know, what DJ is or how, like, how many conversations has DJ had with Judge about dropping that pop-up? Zero. Zero. But I will say they do have a relationship, and Judge is such a baseball guy. He's got a ton of respect for DJ, the player that he is and what he was and his career and how it's going to end. And we did hear some rumblings and rumors last year about, like, the Yankees were ready to just cut ties with him last year. And they had reason to. He was one of the worst hitters in the sport. I was ready to cut his ass when I was at the game against the Guardians and it went extra innings. I didn't stay for extra innings. When he didn't step on first base, I said, all right, people, I got to go to the fan. I just told this story with JJ. When JJ was on, I was sitting with JJ and his entire family. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going to work. They're probably going to lose this game. They did lose the game, but then they ended up taking the series. But I'm like, the machine is malfunctioning. The machine needs a software update. Or maybe we just got to throw the machine away. The hardware is obsolete. 888-808-1019. I don't care about this, like, morale stuff in the clubhouse. The Yankees are the same ones that went to get Josh Donaldson to add some edge into the clubhouse after he called out Garrett Cole for spider tack. You know, they're the same ones that wanted, like, Alex Verdugo there because Verdugo was a dog and that type of guy. And Jazz and, like, nah. Like, DJ doesn't talk. DJ might set a good example, but he's cooked. I know it. You know it. They all know it. And to say the Yankees can afford it, yes, the Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner told you they have more financial flexibility than ever. They raked in the cash going back to the World Series for the first time since 2009. But again, I go back to the allocation of funds. And there are Yankee fans screaming about, hey, why couldn't we have given Alex Bregman that deal? Hey, there's no way in hell they were giving him that money bag. But maybe they could pay Nolan Arenado. Maybe they could make a trade and take on his contract. Maybe they could have done some other things. Years ago, maybe Manny Machado could be here. I don't know. The case for DJ being a club, you have enough guys. You have Garrett Cole. You have Aaron Judge. You now have Max Fried, Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo Stanton. You have four former MVPs in the clubhouse. DJ got some MVP votes. You don't need DJ LeMay. He does not talk. He does not even say words. But he is beloved in the clubhouse. He does have relationships with his teammates and people in the organization, and they're not going to do him dirty. But there is no case for, like, you know, what kind of guy he is. He's not a personality like a Yogi Berra or a Bernie Williams in that clubhouse at all. Liv is out in L.A. on The Fan in New York. Hello, Liv.
Hey, Keith. I just wanted to call in because I hear everyone talking about Marcus Stroman, and I just feel like there's a lot of slander. Like, people just don't like him. And, like, I agree with everything you're saying about, like he's not as good as he was, but, like, they're like, oh, why is he showing up on time? Like you said, like, if your job, if you get paid a salary and your job says you don't have to come into work, then you don't have to come into work. Like,
yeah.
You talk, like,
they're pocket watching like crazy. Oh, he's making all that money. So what? He checked in with his job, and they literally, Aaron Boone, not even Aaron Boone. Let's go to someone else, because I think we do have the audio from Aaron Boone. And Aaron Boone said he wants his guy here, but Chris Kirshner reported that Matt Blake said this when asked about Marcus Stroman. He's in Tampa. He's around. That was Matt Blake, the pitching coach's comments about him. He's in Tampa. He's around. We don't need him here today. It's not mandatory for him to be here because of his contract and all the money he's making. Marcus Stroman is filthy rich.
I agree. Like, the collective bargaining agreement literally says, like, he doesn't have to show up until a certain day, and that's when he's going to show up. He's probably heard the trade rumors. Like he knows he's probably going to get traded. Why does he need to show up to, I'm pretty sure a week extra of him pitching isn't going to make Marcus Stroman.
It isn't. He doesn't need to put on appearances. He's a veteran in this game. He doesn't have to go through the motions. It's so odd and awkward to walk in there. I'm sure it was awkward for him walking in there just to do the physical and talk to Boone. He's not a fool. Yeah. And you know what? I'm sure him and Boone had a good conversation, and Cashman as well, right? Where's the drop? Where's the, you know, Cashman is the man. he was singing Cashman's praises last year. So I think it's much about nothing. And just come out and say why you don't like Marcus Stroman. Thanks for the call, Liv. Just come
Cashman's
out and say.
Cashman's the man.
Cashman, yo, drop
that. What an incredible human being.
Last year? Yeah, because Cashman ran him that money, and Cashman's the man. Cashman's an incredible human being.
Cashman's the man.
$18 million.
This was a situation I didn't think I'd be in at all.
Nah, me either, bro. I never thought you'd be on the Yankees. After you said what you said, and after Cash said what he said, you know, Stroman literally called out the Yankees about not getting back to the World Series, and then he's on the team that gets back to the World Series and loses in embarrassing fashion. And Cashman said, you know, he wouldn't even break our rotation.
What an incredible human being.
I think it's much about nothing, but we want to talk about baseball. And the first hour of the show, we did that with Marcus Stroman, and that was my plan. I do want to get into more of the questions around the team, like who's leading off. We obviously know third base. They're not going to get Nolan Arenado. I hope that's capped, though. Like, I hope that's a smokescreen. I would love to come in here one night and the news break. Hey, they actually did go get Nolan Arenado. He's better than what they've got. Who's leading off? For what my money's worth, I am in the camp of trying to put Jason Dominguez in that spot in spring training and seeing how he responds. And if he does not respond well to it, if he's dropping fly balls in left field, you should just put him in center field and put him lower in the lineup. Cody Bellinger said, play me anywhere. Cody Bellinger also has experience leading off, but I would lean towards Jazz with his speed and his experience leading off to go there. If Dominguez can't do it, and if Jazz is striking out, swinging at everything, then put Belly there. But I kind of want Judge batting second, and I want Belly with that pop and that swing in Yankee Stadium to be behind Judge, potentially, and not be in front of him. I don't know, but they're going to find out. Boone doesn't even know. They asked Boone. He said, I don't know. Brandon is in Tom's River on The Fan. What's up, man?
How you doing, brother? I know we talked earlier about the left side of the field and possibly second base. How are you feeling about behind the dish, first base, and the outfield?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the fact that Ben Rice has his catcher's gear and his catcher's mitt, and
yeah,
he's going back to try to, you know, give us some depth there. It is not great when it's just Austin Wells, and like last year, Austin Wells was platooning with Trevi, and fans were screaming, Austin Wells should be in the lineup every single day. Well, here you go, Austin Wells. You're the everyday guy. Other than that, you have JC Ascara and Jesus Rodriguez, and then somewhere the guy Alex Jackson, who came over in the trade for Trevi with Fernando Cruz. But, you know, I said this the other night, Trevino got traded for when it was just Kyle Higashioka and Ben Rortvedt, which, like, right. Ben Rortvedt we didn't even think was a real person. And Cashman, you know, figured out, okay, Texas doesn't need him. And they trade for Trevino, and he ends up being an all-star and a platinum glove catcher. So I think they're going to take a look at what they have here in camp, and if they need to make a move for a backup catcher, I think they will. But they'll also take a look at Ben Rice. I think Ben Rice wants the opportunity to potentially make the roster as a backup catcher, but I don't know. I don't know if that's realistic for Ben Rice to actually be the backup catcher and like break camp. He's also depth at first base and in the outfield. I want so badly for the Martian to become the Martian, right? The fans that brought those Dominican flags to the stadium for Juan Soto, bring him out for this kid. I want him to be an everyday player. I want him to be comfortable. I want him to be the phenom that he can be, and I don't want the pressure on him to play left field and lead off. So I'd like to see him play center field, but they're going to go with the experience of Cody Bellinger in center field. I get it, and the athleticism and try and get Dominguez up to speed, but like, he struggled last year, and I don't think he's going to be terrible, but if he struggles at all, we can't do it. The whole philosophy changes, tightening up the screws, defense. The Dodgers made fun of us and said that we play Yankee defense. Now we got to have the tightest defense possible. Then why would you have that kid out there? Put Belly in left and put him in center, his natural position. And then obviously Judge is going to go back to being gold glove, all-star and right, much better than Juan Soto. No disrespect to Juan Soto, but obviously we know Judge is much better over there than Juan Soto was.
Right. You know, I appreciate that. And then as far as first base, you think Ben's even going to get any playing time over there? Or is he just going to be kind of one of those guys that get a game once every week or something like that?
Paul Goldschmidt can play 150 games if healthy all year. And if he's hitting, why would you want to take Paul Goldschmidt out?
Right.
Behind him, there's so many options, right? Because behind him, before you go to a Ben Rice, you could go to Oswaldo Cabrera, Cody Bellinger, right? There might be some times where they go Cody Bellinger at first base to spell Goldschmidt if he's hurt or if he needs rest, because the Yankees love scheduled rest, especially with a 37-year-old, and they might put Trent Grisham in center field, and then Cody Bellinger is at first. And then if it's not Bellinger, Oswaldo Cabrera can play first base. And since, you know, DJ is such a great clubhouse guy, keeping his mouth shut and not talking to anybody, they'll probably try and put him at first base if it's, you know, Oswaldo or Peraza at third base. There's just a ton of backup options at first base before you get to Ben Rice. But I don't know. I like the kid's moxie. I remember when they called him up, I thought he was way ahead of schedule. I didn't think they were going to call him up. And, yo, he answered the bell. He made history. He had some moments. He had some home runs, and then he also had some you know, shots that he hit that were this close to either going out or changing the game. He just missed. And I think he's going to be better for it this year. Thanks for the call, Brandon. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. When we come back, I'll introduce a couple more, you know, topics of conversation. I'm glad that the facial hair policy thing isn't really a topic of conversation. I don't really care. It's not something I really care about. But, you know, we had the conversation last night, and we've been having it online. The Yankees are not going to change it. Fans can never change it. And I completely get it. But what I'm saying about it or said about it is it's 2025. Are they going to do this in 2030, 2035? Am I going to be taking my son to the stadium in the 40s when he has a beard and explain? Like, I think there's going to become a time where it's just going to seem really ridiculous. It's already starting to be ridiculous. We live in a society and world where you let people be who they want to be, look how they want to look. Like, if I wanted to change the name of this show to KIM to AM and come in here, you would have to accept me and embrace me as such. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Feels good to have baseball back. even though it's not back. Just the back and forth conversations are back. And the greatest rivalry in baseball is not the Red Sox versus the Yankees. It's Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. We'll never agree on Marcus Stroman, on the facial hair policy, names on the back of the jerseys. It is what it is. At least it's conversation, right? You know, there's no such publicity as bad publicity. People get mad. I've even taken some strays. You know, people are like, you should be lucky they let you wear your hair like that. I'm like, my hair? I'm not on the Yankees, bro. And I'm on the radio. They can't see me. Just kidding. I'm live on video. They can see me now. And, you know, as far as the facial hair policy goes, like, I get it. I understand where it came from. I understand it's something they don't want to change. And, you know, I think it's super weird that their fans are like, it makes the Yankees unique. I love it. Like, okay. But, like, my whole thing with it was, what does it produce? Like, it's a rule to be a rule. And the further we get in this life, in this time in America, is like, rules are made to be broken, and like, rules are also made to like enforce things or do things, and they're the only ones with that rule, man. And there's going to come a time where a player says, yo, listen, like, I've got terrible acne under this beard, I don't want to shave it, or I don't like the way my chin looks, I have a double chin, or no, it took me 7 years to grow this beard like this, I really rather not. I used a couple examples last night talking about it, right? I ran into Luis Castillo in L.A. during the All-Star game, who has long locks down his back. And I was wearing full-on Yankees gear, Yankees pinstripes. And that was when we were thinking about, you know, would the Yankees trade for him? And, you know, he doesn't speak, like, that well of English. So, like, our conversation wasn't that deep. But myself and the people that we were with, like, hinted to him, like, oh, you're gonna have to cut your hair, and his response to that was just like, nah, no, no, like, not like, if he gets traded to the Yankees, he'd have no choice. Like, Miguel Castro came to the Yankees, and he actually had grown his hair for years and had to cut it, and then the Yankees shipped him off, and it's like, oh, well, that 7 years that you put in to grow your hair that long, you had to chop it off, can't get it back. And then he had to get some, like, implants or something put in just to get his look back, get his swag back. Don't you want people to feel good, right? You look good. You play good. You play good. They pay good. Don't you want guys to have some swag, some moxie, some aura about them? Like, that's in your hair. The power is in your hair. I see these videos once in a while on Instagram of, like, you know, kids being punished. And a way that they get punished is their parents taking them to the barbershop and you know, they, I guess, let them grow their hair. And if they're bad in school, now you're getting your hair cut off. And the kids are kicking and screaming and gyrating. And it's just, it's sad. It's almost cruel. But I know, I get it. You know, today I came around on it. I said, once I saw these new facilities that the Yankees rolled out at spring training, okay, to gain access, everybody's got to be clean shaven. If you want to use the new weight room, if you want to use the hot tubs, cold tubs, if you want to use the meeting rooms and all of this, gotta have no beard in here. And it's policy, it's tradition, it's something that's not going to change yet. But the conversation will come up every time there's a new Yankee that comes here and was elsewhere that, you know, baseball fans were used to seeing for years with a beard or long hair, and they shave, and there's this, the initial shock. The conversation happens all the time. Verdugo last year shaved his beard like 3 months in advance. Last night I talked about how Rougned Odor talked about how his little daughter was afraid of him when he came home with no beard, didn't recognize him. When Andrew McCutchen shaved his beard off, it was like, ugh. So I don't know when it's gonna happen. I just think we're ahead of it. And in this modern day time where, you know, anything goes, and you're taught to accept people and let people be who they are and look how they wanna look, and especially as younger generation, Gen Zs and younger, they're very accepting, and they are very against conforming and being told what to do and all this stuff. So we're getting there. I'm telling you, give it another 5, 10, 15 years, and it's just going to look very out of place. It's going to look very odd that, like, there's a policy to make grown men shave their beards. 888-808-1019. a well-kept beard is acceptable, in my opinion. Like, I'm not talking Jason Worth. I'm not talking Charlie Blackman. I'm not talking Brandon Marsh. I'm not talking James Harden. I'm not talking Robin Williams and Jumanji. I'm talking about, like, a little bit of beard, like a two-guard, a three-guard, and, you know, it's presentable. And I don't think that's unprofessional, and I don't think that would upset anybody, but what do I know? I can't grow a beard anyway. 888-808-1019. Philip is in Jamaica, Queens on the Fan. What's up, Phil?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I want to expand, before I get into my third base points with the Yankees, I want to expand on the point of you make, you know, the hair issue with the Yankees. What if there's an all-star and he's like one of the best players in the position, and the Yankees, what are they going to, he doesn't want to shave his beard. What is the Yankees going to say? We're not going to take this all-star because he has a beard, so you're going to let it affect
right.
The
team? No, you make moves to make the team better. You do what you got to do to improve the team, and there is going to become a time that like a, you know, a player that they either trade for or want to sign, like that, it's a deal breaker. And then when they do decide to bend the rules, then it's going to be, there's going to be a huge outcry about like this specific player and why. And yeah, I don't know. One day I hope to be here for it. I hope to be alive to see it and talk about it. And I'm going to say, see, could have got ahead of this. Could have just beat him to the punch and said, hey, you know what? It's 2025. This season, we're going to zig when they expect us to zag. Let's take the first step forward and have light beards and have somebody that is the judge of that. They have barbers that come in to the stadium. They could have a barber that makes sure everybody has like a, that wants a beard. That's the thing. It's not even everybody. Like I say, I can't grow a beard. There are some guys that are baby faced. Luke Weaver can't grow a beard. So it wouldn't even be everybody. It'd be a handful of guys. How many guys do you see? Like Gleyber Torres has a full beard right now. Clay Holmes has a beard right now. Jordan Montgomery grew out his beard. As soon as these guys leave the Yankees, Gary Sanchez, Robinson Cano, they grow out their beards as a way to be like, I'm free.
Exactly. I can't agree with you, but I want to bring up about the Yankees third base. I happen to be a Cabrera fan. I think he would be good at third base, and that's why I don't think they got Bergman. But my question is, remember last year when Cabrera, he was really hitting well, and then he got reduced time because DJ LeMahieu came back. How much of an impact do you think that had on Cabrera? And if he played full-time at third base and doesn't get reduction in time, do you think he'll be able to keep it up? Or do you think Cabrera will not be able to sustain his success at third base?
I mean, I hope so. Thanks for the call, Philip. I'll go back to last year. DJ LeMahieu was going to be your starting third baseman. He fouled a ball off his foot. And so they went to Oswaldo, who, you know, similar to DJ, can play multiple positions. They look at both of those guys as like utility infielders, Swiss Army knives, defensive replacements, whatever. And when I say they never loved Waldo, a.k.a. Cabby, they never loved him because they immediately went out and traded for John Birdie, you know, who was injury prone and hurt the whole year. But like they didn't feel comfortable saying, oh, Finland scores. They didn't feel comfortable saying, I'm in here watching the Four Nations face-off, United States versus Finland. First goal of the game, Finland just scored. It's lit. It's packed in there. If you guys are looking for something to watch on TV, I don't know if you guys watch any puck, but I do now that I'm on the Fan. Anyway, the Yankees traded for John Birdie. And remember in the beginning of the season,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And it was like, you know, like John Birdie had just got with the team. Like, is he going to start opening day? Whatever. I don't think any of that stuff affects Oswaldo. I've been around him a couple times. I just was with him at American Dream, and I asked him about it. I'm like, I hope you do get more love. I hope you get the opportunity to be an everyday starter. He came up clutch in the beginning of the year. He drove in runs in the beginning of the year. He manufactured runs at times with his legs on the base pass. He's athletic. I just don't know if he's going to hit consistently enough. A switch hitter that I think they really want to hit from the left side, I don't know if he's going to be able to hit consistently enough to be in there every day. And I think that's why they're hoping that DJ, if healthy, can be just, if DJ can be 65% of the hitter that he was, which I don't think he can be that. I don't know if he could be 25% of the hitter that he was. They're hoping that that could be more productive than Oswaldo. Both of them can field the position. Peraza can field the position too. He also just can't hit. So Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan. What's up, Bruce?
Kiki, three Yankee points, if I can. Mm-hmm. First off, Harold Reynolds was on the Midday Show the other day. And Harold Reynolds said, quote, this Yankee team is better than last year's Yankee team. So all the Mets fans who troll on you or Yankee fans and keep saying, how can Hal Steinbrenner say that this team is better than last year's? Well, you got Harold Reynolds, an expert who has no axe to grind, saying the same thing. So,
a lot of people are saying it. We just got to see it, you know? Right. I hope so.
I know, but for Mets fans who call up the station and say, how can the Yankee fan or Yankee person say that? That's ludicrous. I'm just bringing that to their attention.
Yeah, there are a lot of Mets fans that they just still need Yankee tears. They want to use the cope emoji. They want Yankee fans to just be forever in despair because Juan Soto chose the Mets. Him choosing the Mets isn't good enough. They need the Yankees to go out of business since Juan Soto isn't there.
Second point. I have no problems having Peraza or Cabrera or Vivas try out for a dirt base job. But if they all fail, I have a plan B. Gio Urshela is in Oakland this year.
Sacramento,
Right. It's going to be wild to try to break that habit. But in Sacramento this year, he has a one-year contract. He's a $1 million or $2 million. He had a major injury last year, was out for 2 or 3 months. But when he came back, when he went to Atlanta, started to hit a little bit. I have no problems with the Yankees going out, bringing back Urshela, and I think he can hit 260, 270. You know he's got the glove. With two left-handed pitchers, I think it's important to have a good glove at third base. I would have no problem, if the other guys can't cut it, reaching out and giving him a minor league prospect to get back Gio. Do you agree or disagree?
Gio to God. Thanks for the call, Bruce. I disagree. They're not doing that. I guarantee you they're not doing that. They got Gio up out of here, right? They wanted to break up Gleyber Torres and him as the duo, you know, the buddy-buddy. They got him up out of here. Remember that? They're not going to trade for him back. They will stay with their internal options before going to get Gio. I actually saw Gio play in Atlanta at the end of the year. I wish him luck. I wish the Oakland or the Sacramento A's luck. They got a few Yankees over there. Miguel Andujar, Luis Severino. And then you think about the pitching prospects from J.P. Sears. And I don't know, is Luis Medina, Ken Waldichuk still out there somewhere? And there's probably some other ones I'm forgetting about. I don't think that they would look to bring Gio Urshela back. And, like, honestly, do better. The knock on Gio when he was here, he didn't hit enough home runs. Like, we're going to need some pop in that lineup. The whole thing with losing Juan Soto and his, you know, 40 homers and all of his runs batted in, like, you need to replace that production. Why not replace it with Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, and somebody better at third base? 888-808-1019. When we come back, we're talking Yankees lineup construction. We're, of course, talking facial hair policy. I think we've moved on from Marcus Stroman. We're still talking third base options. And just the fact that this team has made some additions and has tightened up the screws and I think a lot of hope is there. Everyone seems very optimistic. I caution you against that because it's still a very new team that has to come together and figure a lot of things out. They may not come right out of the gate, and they're going to have competition. But, man, we're so close. We're about a week away from games and actually being able to see some stuff about who is who and what is what and see some new Yankees out there. When we come back, I'll take the rest of those calls. As we get into 9 o'clock, I do want to talk a little bit of football, and I'll mix in some conversation around the Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this. And we're back. In here watching United States versus Finland. It is now tied 1-1. That game is getting good.
All I ever wanted was a black Grand National. Being rational.
Little K-Dot on the Fan. K-Mac on the Fan. KM to AM, we're going to do this till midnight. Dial 888-808-1019. We're about to get back to the phone and take calls on the Yankees, on everything we've been talking about, from the facial hair policy to what they're going to do with the lineup, who's going to bat leadoff, outfield, third base, all of that type of stuff. And then when we get into the 9 o'clock hour, I got to talk Aaron Rodgers, as Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just ended for real. But it was a little peculiar how the Jets signed off and what they posted. I don't know. And I can't wait to hear Aaron Rodgers speak on Pat McAfee or wherever he chooses. Most likely to be Pat McAfee, right? Pat McAfee is like implicated in all this. And then also, we got to play some audio from Colin Cowherd talking about Matthew Stafford and a trade to the Rams. And we also got to talk, oh my God, we got to talk Candelita. Jose Iglesias, hell of a year for his playing and music career, but that's done. David Stearns is like, nah, I don't have any analytics that say that, you know, lightning's going to strike twice or we could catch lightning in a bottle again. Francisco Alvarez is extremely confident, not just with the tattoo on his neck, his words. And, yeah, we've got more to do tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to these Yankee fans on the Fan. Jerry is in the Bronx. You got it, Jerry.
What's happening, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Listen, I got to disagree with you. But first, before I make my point, I got to disagree with you. And usually I don't. But the beer thing, 100 years of Yankee tradition, there's no player that I can remember. I've been following the Yankees since the early 70s that said, hey, you know what? I'm not coming to the Yankees because I got to shave my beard. It's not a big deal. Believe me. And I like the tradition. The reason I called was because of the lineup. You can't bat this kid first. It's impossible. The way I would structure it is Jazz, number one, Judge, second, Bellinger, third. Then you got Stanton because you got the lefty-righty combination. Wells right behind him. Dominguez, Goldschmidt, DJ, and then Volpe. Volpe batting.
Why Goldschmidt so low?
Well, you could always split the middle of the lineup, though, Keith. You could split them either way. Whoever's hot, who's not hot, you could flip them in the middle of the lineup depending on how they're hitting. Now, at third base, let me tell you something. I've been thinking about this for a long time. They got rid of their first baseman, Cleveland. Could you imagine if the Yankees got Jose Ramirez to play third base? I don't know what the situation is. I mean, I think he just signed a new contract. But let me tell you, switch hitter, the guy hits 30, 40 home runs a year. He bats 280, 300. I think he was getting up by 320 sometime last year. I think that he would be, if they could pick that guy up from Cleveland, I think he would be the ideal third baseman. I mean, that's just my opinion. What do you?
Thanks for the call, Jerry. I completely disagree with you on what you said in the beginning about no player has ever, like, yeah, Don Mattingly is someone that had an issue with it. I retweeted a picture today of Thurman Munson with a full beard, mustache, goatee in his Yankee gear in a team picture. Cameron Maybin, former Yankee, has been very vocal about how many players do talk about this, how more appealing the Yankees would be if they did drop this. It is a thing. We can't say 100 years of Yankees tradition and no one ever had an issue with it. Of course they did. But like you just don't hear about it because these players are getting paid a lot of money. It is an honor to be a Yankee. It's an honor to put on pinstripes. And all of them respect the guys that paved the way that they literally live off of, right? I have those rants every year about how these guys go city to city, ballpark to ballpark. And, you know, they'll go lose to the Nationals. They'll go lose to the St. Louis Cardinals. But there's a ton of Yankee fans there. and not necessarily for Alex Verdugo, not necessarily for Anthony Rizzo, but for the Yankees brand. 888-808-1019. So we just can't say 100 years of tradition and no one's been able to break the tradition. No, it hasn't. It just like, it has happened. It just hasn't hit the surface, but it will one day. Like there will be someone that, like you'll get the story. No, I didn't sign with the Yankees because they wouldn't budge on the facial hair policy. And then fans will lose their minds. They say we lost out on this generational player in 2035 because you guys were still stuck on that. I'm telling you, it's just obvious. The world is getting more progressive. The world is more accepting. The world is looking at it as almost cruel to tell somebody how they should look or, you know, what they should do to conform, even if it is for a job, even if it is for the New York Yankees. The Yankees are the only one to do it. So when you're the only one to do it, right, it stands out. And with their other traditions, you know, I've cited those too. Oh, the pinstripes are sacred. Yeah, but you sold the star insurance patch. Star with two R's. You put an insurance patch over the sleeve. Right? Remember how much of an uproar there was over that and over the Nike swoosh over the pinstripes? Oh, like I can't believe they put a Nike swoosh over it. Yeah, well, so what? Times have changed. They built a section in the stadium called the Judge's Chambers for a guy that is not good in the postseason. Love Aaron Judge. But they have a section in the stadium that when that first came up, people, they didn't build anything for Jeter. They didn't build it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like things can change. Rules can change. They're going to have a day where they got to change it. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the fan.
You're Keith. What it do?
I didn't know if you were there or not. What up, Moose?
I'm there. So for what it's worth, I'm trolling you by saying this. The one thing that all Yankee fans can agree upon is that Aaron Judge is the best right-handed hitter in the league since Miguel Cabrera's prime. I think it's inarguable.
That Yankee fans can agree on, yeah. But, you know, there are some Yankee fans that hate Aaron Judge now. I'm not even joking. There are Yankee fans that are so mad about that drop. I'm telling you, there are Yankee fans that say, he'll hit home runs this year and I will not care because they won't count until we get to October. There are Yankee fans that are over it. And they're the worst of us, but there are Yankee fans that have turned on Judge. Thanks for the call, Moose. Another thing, I didn't humor Jerry's comments about Jose Ramirez. The Guardians are not trading the Yankees Jose Ramirez. The Guardians got knocked out by the Yankees in the ALCS. Remember? Jose Ramirez chose to stay there. He's got to be kicking himself seeing the type of money that Juan Soto just got. He chose to take that contract. Because he came from the DR and very humble beginnings. And he, you know, I always say, don't turn down your first fortune. You see that much money on paper, you take it. Not everybody's Juan Soto that can turn down $440 million and then, you know, almost double that. There's a 0% chance that the Guardians will trade one of the best hitters in baseball to the New York Yankees, who they have under contract until 2029. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I am going to introduce the football conversations. I am going to clear all of the conversation about the Yankees' facial hair policy. Again, hand up. I don't really care about it. Also, I'm just saying, there's going to come a time where it's going to change. And it's out of place right now. But, I'll take your calls and thoughts on it. This is just what we're doing to pass the time. And then also we have a couple calls on, the lineup and third base and stuff like that. Keith McPherson on the fan. Football conversation on the way. 2 hours down. 3 hours to go. KM to AM returns right after this.